Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music. We're today on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College studios with John Guerra. Learn all about him at johnguerramusic.com. John, thanks for hopping on today, man.
Thanks for having me, Austin.
For sure. Now, listen, I was doing a little research on you, and you grew up at least kind of your formative years in Houston, Texas. Am I reading that right?
That's correct. Yeah, till I was 11. Grew up in Clear Lake area.
Well, I got some fun facts about Houston we're going to talk about for a second. Did you know that Houston residents, they eat out more times a week than any other city in America?
What?
Any other city. Now, how they measure this, I don't know, right? I'm just telling you what the internet tells
us. Wow.
Any other city in America, Houstonians eat out more than they do. Do you have a favorite restaurant you think back to in Houston that
Let's see. I moved when I was 11, so the favorite restaurant would have to be like Chuck E. Cheese's or something.
That's what I was going to say. McDonald's, Burger King.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if that is true, if that statistic is true, then that's not great for the wallet or
Mm-mm.
the cholesterol.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I wonder if that's measurable, if the cholesterol levels in Houston are.
So we need to go back and find out what's the debt ratio in Houston and what's the cholesterol levels of most Houstonians.
Exactly.
We'll research
this. Dangerous.
We'll research this. Whoa. We'll research this. And Houston's average rainfall exceeds the average annual rainfall of Seattle, which is wild. I had no idea that was
what?
Even a thing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And your picture. There you are. Here's your picture. And this one was funny. This was an interesting one. So Boris Yeltsin, remember that guy, Soviet Union?
Whoa. Yeah.
He visited a grocery store in Houston. And this was from like his publicist, I think, years later. He visited a grocery store in Houston and was basically like, this is incredible. And it led to like the downfall of communism in the Soviet Union.
So, you know, that is a thing to behold. I guess we're so used to it, but you imagine not having food readily available and your culture isn't agrarian and, you know, it is winter 9 months out of the year. So that's basically like more valuable to them than just like a pot of gold. You just go to a building and there's all the food you'll ever need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that.
So Houston changed the world. I think that's what we're going with. And
yep.
It usually involves food, it seems like, whether it be.
You know, never mind NASA. Never mind NASA. Never mind any of the leaps forward for mankind. It's the grocery store. It's the eating out. And it's the weather systems.
I think that's it. We talk about NASA enough. Everybody talks about NASA.
Yeah, they get enough air time.
Nobody's talking about Boris Yeltsin going to the grocery store in Houston. That's what this show, we do the deep dives on this show. That's what we do. I got enemies at every side. It ain't looking good, I ain't gonna lie. Arrows flying, devils trying to make me think I'm going down this time. You might think that I'd be afraid, running scared with a shaking faith, but the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have no fear, no fear. The mighty
Again, we're with John Garum behind the tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Check him out at johngarummusic.com. We're not here to talk about Houston. We're here to talk about you, John. What got you into music to begin with?
When I was 12 years old, my family moved from Houston to a suburb of Chicago called Wheaton, Illinois. And we moved at the beginning of the summer, and I went on a trip with my new youth group. And I reluctantly went on that trip, I should say. My mother asked me if I wanted to go on the trip, and I said, under no circumstances do I want to go on the trip. And she, being a discerning, wise mom, saw that I needed to make some friends. And so, like, a few days later, I was on the trip despite my strongest protestations. And on that trip, there was 10 of us, 10 of us youth group kids. And at the end of the night, the youth pastor would pull out his Taylor acoustic guitar and would just sing, lead us in praise songs. And I didn't come from a church that sang songs like that. So it was brand new to me. I thought it was really weird for the first, the trip was maybe 7 days. I thought it was really weird for the first 4 days. I looked over day one, day two, there's kids closing their eyes, they're raising their hands. And there was a girl that I had a crush on who was doing those things. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. And I closed my eyes and I raised my hands and nothing happened. And I thought it was the weirdest thing. I didn't feel anything. And more importantly, the girl didn't notice me. She didn't notice how spiritual I was. So I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. This is not working for me. But day five, I had sort of an experience that I now have theological language for. I went to, you know, studied theology in college, and it really was just a an encounter with God. I had this sense of overwhelming love, and I had this sense of being perceived. Like I said, we just moved from Houston to Wheaton, Illinois, across the country, and I was 11, and I'm an only child, so I was feeling all sorts of things, but I didn't, you know, like most kids that age, they don't really have the language for it. They just kind of act out, or they're just kind of moody or whatever. But suddenly, as they're singing these songs, I kind of there was this thing that happened to me, and I started singing, and it was like it just suddenly clicked. Like, this is all real, this is all beautiful. God is good. He knows me. He loves me. I want more. I want all of this. So I went up to the youth pastor afterwards, and I said, "What in the world was that? What, like, why was that different?" And he saw that I was kind of having a moment, and he's like, "Nothing different, man. I think God just met you." And I looked over and he was holding some chord charts, which I didn't know were chord charts, but it's just the lyrics with the little chords on top. And I said, "What are those?" He's like, "Oh, these are chord sheets. What are those little letters above the words? Like, these are chords." I'm like, "Wait, so you read the chords and you read the words and you sing at the same time? That sounds super hard." And then it's like this, and then it was like the you know, when the movie slows down and like it's like a slow-mo into the face of the person, something significant's about to happen. That's what happened to me. And he looked at me in the eye. And he said, "Actually, John," and no reason to say this to me, "actually, John, it's very easy. And I think you're gonna be really good at it if you try." And he had no reason to say that. I was not a musician, but I kind of thought, oh man, this guy's saying something about me that he is true, you know. So I took those chord sheets, went back home, and my mom had an acoustic guitar from when she was in college, and I dusted that thing off. I took my bike and my allowance money to Guitar Center, and I bought a chord book, a little chord, you know, sheet book for like 10 bucks. And I spent the rest of the summer learning, teaching myself guitar to these praise songs. And that was basically it. Started playing in a youth group. I was like guitar number four that was unplugged, that was like behind, you know, one of the banners that nobody could. And
Makes
I did
sense.
that for a couple of years. And then they kind of let me into the PA system so they could hear me and just sort of grew from there. And I started writing songs pretty immediately after that experience, not knowing that they were like atrocities of art, but they were pure, you know, it was a pure supplication of like a 11, 12, 13-year-old kid trying to sing to God, trying to translate my newfound faith into something beautiful and something meaningful. And that was it, man. I've been doing that ever since.
Was there a point kind of throughout that process where, and I love what you said about the youth pastor saying, kind of speaking into your life. And I hear that on this show a lot, where there was somebody that said, "Hey, I see something in you that you don't even see." And it changes people's lives. And I always try to bring that out whenever any of you mention that, because I think that's so important. I think that's one of one of the things that God really desires for us to do. He says, "Listen, I need you to call out what I am doing in someone's life and help them see it, because we don't often see the gifts he's placed within us.
Yeah, right.
I think that's so important. So I love that you brought that out.
Yeah, I'm standing on a mountain, walking through barren lands. You took my hand and you said, you can have this world, but I won't go with you. Oh, I won't go with you. But I ran out of places, and feelings I was chasing. All I have is you and you alone. Should I go? Your spirit will follow me down to Sheol. And the thing about the King, he's always with me, so I can't run from you. But I won't run from you. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I don't want what you in and then I don't wanna go unless I'm going there with you.
I was going to talk about this later, but I want to go ahead and do it because you've kind of hit on it to some degree, where the picture of how you are using music just to sort out your feelings, your beliefs, your theology,
Yeah, that's right.
it was your tool. So, today, what's your songwriting process like? As I assume you're still kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, songwriting process now is it really is the same. I've just grown in my skill set. I've grown in the craft of songwriting. I've grown in my vocational understanding of what I'm meant to be about. But I'm glad you hit on the theology piece because I call what I do devotional music, which is less Sunday morning worship, more Monday morning prayer. And I was actually just having a conversation with my wife last night about how, if I was to be more precise, I would call it devotional theology music because really what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to implicitly say things about God through my own experience of faith, not unlike the Psalms. So the Psalms are a collection of, Walter Brueggemann calls it collection of Godward humanity. So there's no experience, emotion, prayer, feeling that isn't covered in the Psalms. The difference between what the psalmist experiences and what we experience is the psalmist takes that experience and directs it directly to God. And we usually take our experience and direct it towards each other, direct it inward, direct it at, you know, the world or the country or what have you. And he says, take that and direct it to God, and you'll never be closer to the spirit of the Psalms than when you're doing that. And the Psalms are, there's a lot of theology in the Psalms, but it's not theology the way Romans or Philippians is theology, and certainly not theology the way some, you know, beautiful books have been written about theology, systematics and all this. It's theology by way of the, it's affective theology, which affect, of course, is the experience. It's kind of the feeling of reality versus the objective propositional reality. So the affect, it's affective theology would be like, what does it actually feel like to encounter Christ when you are the woman at the well? What would that have felt like, you know? And versus, you know, a different kind of theology would be, you know, well, what does that encounter say about how God deals with sinners? That both true, both wonderful. But I think with my music, I'm trying to probe, I'm trying to basically take my faith very seriously and take my take spiritual reality very seriously and live accordingly, and in that living, write songs along the way. And sometimes those are songs of God, where are you? You know, God, where are you? I don't sense you. Or God, what are you doing with this? Or sometimes it's, God, thank you for this one very specific thing that's very idiosyncratic to me. Versus, I'm going to write a song about sin and salvation. You know, the way maybe I also write a lot of worship songs with friends in around the country, and those are good and great, and I see the value, and I this is not to demean that at all. But when you're writing a worship song, you have a very specific end in mind. This has to be theologically true, and this has to be singable. That's it. What I'm trying to do is work backwards, kind of from beauty, which beauty, I have been saying lately, beauty puts us in contact with invisible things. So beauty puts us in contact with the reality that is as real as tables and chairs, that is behind everything, that is before everything, the reality where God is already all in all. And one day that reality is going to permeate this reality, and he's going to be all in all here. Beauty puts us in contact with that. So yes, I'm still doing that same thing. I think I'm still doing theology even as I'm talking now. I think you can get the sense that I really think a lot about these things, and yeah, it's great fun.
I love the thoughtfulness of it. I love the honesty of it and the rawness of it because I know it's hard in today's music world to, it's easy to be pulled a direction that is just light and fluffy and playable. Rather than, but what we need is honesty and wrestling and genuineness. And so I love that. And it blesses me just to listen, you know, to you unpack that. And 'cause I think we need more of it.
You said my fate was sealed. You said my days were numbered. Case closed with no appeal. My future 6 feet under, messing with my head in ghost fashion. My heart was holding its breath, terrified of taking my last one. Oh, death, you scared me to death. Your wrath, devil gone, get off of my shoulder. You thought you had the last laugh. You thought this song was over.
brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion, because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs, or will I turn around and run? Will let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed.
I'm unashamed.